Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, everybody, Steeler weekend, come on!
Yes.
Hey, Newcastle, we love you. Meadville, we love you. Our online audience, come on to Steeler weekend. Come on, give them all a shout at Cranberry.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a feeling they're going to win.
We need more than feelings for tonight, baby, but that's all right. How many of you remember Myron Cope? Oh, don't you miss Myron Cope? So I thought I'd bring him back just a minute. You ain't double, you ain't high the Steelers, ha-ha, gonna hide the Chiefs. Come on, Myron. Miss Myron Cope. And anyway, so we love you guys so much. So glad you're here. Yes. I've asked Michelle to join me this weekend. And if from our other campuses, you didn't know, this weekend here at Cranberry, Pastor Steve had his daughter, kind of looks like his granddaughter, Rachel, with him. And we had Rachel do that because obviously he is really bad looking. And we spared you that on your screen. But we wanted to bring Michelle, not just for the value of what I know God's put in her heart, but we thought it would look a whole lot better for a day. But the reality of it is this, is we're in a series on values.
Yes.
And I've asked Michelle to literally come and be a part of this because these values have come out of her heart as well. Let me just take a moment and celebrate with all of our campuses something that's recently happened through the student ministries here on this Victory campus, which soon to expand in all of our campuses. In our senior high ministry, they have outreaches to the local schools. And students here at Victory go in the schools under their structure, and they're able to do ministry there and create what is basically a club. And so we're right now on 11 campuses throughout
awesome?
The region. Come on,
God,
man, 11 campuses.
They're doing an incredible job.
This past week, we were able to open another campus. Two students in this school from Victory, just two, were able to pull off the opening meeting with 88 students attending.
Awesome.
Isn't that incredible?
Praise God.
Hey, how about this number? And 48 of those students gave their lives to Christ.
Yes.
Come on,
great,
man.
Great.
Telling you, an incredible generation.
Yes.
Remarkable.
Praise
Remarkable.
God.
And but we're in a value series. We're calling it Family Values. And it's not what you might think if you weren't here last week. It's not about the family, but about the family of God. And actually the values that founded and built this church. A couple years ago, Pastor Matt, who's our executive pastor, who today is actually up at our Newcastle campus. And for Newcastle, we love you. But listen, Pastor John and Kara, I know they aren't there today. It's because they're Browns fans. And we have them on. They're kind of on. They're not fired, but it's close. And some of the Meadville folks, I know you guys are Bills fans, and some of you is Brown fans as well on that, but it's okay. Just if you wore the colors of your team, we love you. No one's talking to you today, but it's okay. But we're glad you're there. Yeah. But I asked Michelle to be a part of this because the values that built this church, when Pastor Matt came to me and he said, you know, you've never really, you and Michelle, laid out the values that God put in your heart that came from your relationship with him, that in your own personal lives built this church, because we founded the church together. This year will be our 28th year.
Yeah.
And so at Victory, and so we did that, and I'm grateful for the help that he and the team gave us. But these are literally the values that we live with. They're not ministry values. They're our everyday life values, whether we were in ministry or any other vocation. And so we want to lay those out for you.
And our desire is that we want you to gain these values in your life,
yes,
in your personal life, in your family life, and in your careers, because these values are what built this.
Yes.
And it's what Jesus did, and it'll affect everything around you when you live this way.
It sure will. The definition of values is very simple. It's a person's judgment of what they deem important in their own life. It's the principles or the standards or behaviors that direct their choices and their decision-making processes. Often we seek for a goal in our life or an outcome. And there's nothing wrong with having goals, but I would suggest to you, and my hope is that through this series, is that you're going to be able to see that if you'll deal with the values of your life, the values will make your decisions for you. Last week, we talked about value number one, which was let love lead. And we would encourage you, if you didn't hear that, please go back and catch up with it on all of our different opportunities to do that through our social media and YouTube channel and all that stuff, our website. But this week, I want to talk to you about value number two, and it's start with people. Say it out loud. Start with people.
Start with people.
And there are three subtexts under it. is this, that God loves all people. Say it out loud, all people.
All people.
And that means all people. God loves all people. Jesus died for all people. Again, all people. Say it again.
All people.
Now, this is the part we're really going to drill into today. This is the behavior that comes out of these values is this. People are the why. So what we do is defined and empowered by people first. People first is a value that we have lived with because it's actually the value of Jesus. And so the reason I wanted Michelle to be here today is you've heard me tell the story of in the very early part of our ministry, her desire to start a ministry to single moms. And I've done my best to tell that story, but it's really, it's her life. And the values that you see in Victory come as much from her heart as they do mine, in some cases more. So it was very important in this series that you're able to hear from her heart. So years ago, when the church was just a few years old or so, Michelle had a desire to really reach single moms. And it kind of catapults out of her own story, but then also it brought an action out of her life, that value of people first, that was pretty remarkable, which was when she sold something very precious to her to start and fund that ministry. So, Michelle, would you just kind of just tell the story where it comes from and why you did it and where that comes from in a person to make those kind of decisions?
Well, obviously it comes from Jesus because Jesus is all about people. And so when we started the church, we were so excited because we wanted to touch and reach people. That's what it's about. Yeah. And, you know, John tells a story about me giving away my wedding ring, and it wasn't something that was this supernatural.
You sold it. You sold your wedding ring.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sold it to fund the ministry. But it wasn't this supernatural, like, vision I have from God to do that. It came from a heart of remembering where I came from. And as believers, you know, we can go on in life and we can get so busy, and also we can get so blessed with what God's done in our life that sometimes we forget where we came from. But I've always prayed and I've asked God to always help me to remember where I came from. And I came from a single parent home, and my father left us when I was young, when I was 8 years old, and he just kind of abandoned us. And so my mom was left with three kids and no college education, and she had to start paying for everything. And there was a lot of struggle there, and it was mainly survival. And the first, you know, lie that you believe one of the biggest lies you believe when your dad leaves like that and he doesn't want to have anything to do with you is that you're not loved and you're rejected. And so you believe that if your father won't stick around and love you, then no one will. And so I remember that, and I remember that pain of that. And I remember the struggle of my mom having to pay the bills. And, you know, we, in the wintertime, we didn't have enough money to run our heat. We would have to have our oven open to get dressed by, or run a blow dryer in our bathroom with the door closed just to get heat. Or I remember when we were in the grocery store, and my mom had to be on food stamps, even though she worked. She was on food stamps, and I remember being embarrassed, and my brothers and I would run to the car, and we would hide in the car so we wouldn't be embarrassed when she pulled out the food stamps. And I remember when, you know, she had something happen, our car was messed up in a wreck, and she didn't have the money to pay to get it fixed, and we would we would ask her to drop us off at another area of school so that no one would see our car. You know, the biggest thing that people carry when they carry poverty is shame, and shame is a terrible way weight to carry in life. And so many people around us are carrying shame, and because of things that happened in their life. And so I wanted to start a ministry for single moms because I wanted them to know that they were valued and that they had worth from God first of all, but from other people, and that shame would be lifted off their life, and also that their kids would know that there are people around them that love them and care for them, and that there would be things provided for their kids at Christmas time. We provided financial things. So I kept asking John, when can we start this ministry? Because we went to Tommy Barnett,
yeah. Great pastor.
Yeah, he's incredible. In Arizona, we went there to his school of ministry, or his pastor school, yeah, I guess
it's like
it was.
It's like a conference.
And at the
pastors.
End of it, this was back in, what, the early 90s? I can't remember.
Probably 95.
He had a parade of ministries, and there was like 200 ministries that came across the stage of people who started things out of what they felt like God had in their heart.
Outreach, basically.
Outreach. And so I knew that we should start this ministry, and so I kept asking John, well, can we do that?
God did say, I said, why don't we do a parade of ministries? And she went, it'll be a very short parade right now.
We had no outreach ministries at the time.
Yeah, we were just getting started.
Yeah. So I knew that we needed to do this, and so I kept asking John, and there wasn't the finances there. So I just asked God, I prayed, and I said, God, what can I do? How can I start this ministry? And it was just a prompting in my heart that I knew that I should sell my wedding ring to get the money to do this. So I did it without John knowing, because I didn't want him to tell me no, because I knew he would. So,
well, it's your wedding ring.
My ring. It was precious to me, but I was so much more excited to see people's lives changed in that ring. And so I sold it, and we were able to start that ministry from that money. And from then on, God always had people that would connect to that, and the resources were always there. But I just want to encourage you that wherever you're at in life, and there may be things in your heart that you know that you want to do to help people around you, the miracle is in your hand. And I want to give you the example of when Jesus fed the 5,000. And really, it was more than 5,000 people. When you look at it in the Bible, it says that there were 5,000 men, and then it said there were women and children. So when the disciples found the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes from the little boy, that didn't just feed 5,000. It was more like 20 to 30,000 people. But whenever Jesus was talking to his disciples, I think it's in the Gospel of Mark, if you look there in the New Living Translation, they came to him and he told them to feed the people. And they were like, Jesus, we can't feed the people. We don't have enough money to feed all these people. And he said, go find it. And so there is a responsibility on our side that when God deals with our hearts, to touch people around us, to find where that place is, that miracle, and it's always in our hand. And they found the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. They said, this is all we have. And then Jesus blessed what they had, and it multiplied. And the miracle is in our hands. So as we have a desire, and that's what we want to get across, is that when you have a desire to put people first in your life, God will use you. He'll use, sometimes there's an illusion that you think that, you know, this extraordinary person that God uses. No, it's just ordinary people that he does extraordinary things through because of the desire and the passion to touch people.
So the starting with people value is just something that you live by. And when you have values, they make your decisions reflexive. They aren't hard. When I think of these kind of things, I think people would say, and I've had people say to me, that had to be such a sacrifice for her. But the fact of it is did it feel like a sacrifice?
No.
It actually, when you live your values, you actually feel joy in every decision that you get to make. And as to Michelle's point, everything starts as a seed in our lives. And that day when that ministry started with the money that from that ring, and I remember saying to her, when she told me, I said, babe, it's your wedding ring. I mean, it's something you kind of want to keep your whole life, right? And she's like, honey, these are people. So when I talk to you and we say, this is why we came to these terminologies, start with people, is that when you focus on what God focuses on, it innately gives you the power to make choices that you otherwise wouldn't make. And those seed today has so expanded into the ministries of this church and the outreach and the stretch of loving and caring for people. Every Christmas, so many people that in our church family, at all of our campuses, I want you to know, you do so much, it's hard to tell you at all, is that you fund Christmas for families that can't afford it. Single moms to this day, every Christmas, because of your generosity, because of this value, start with people. They're a part of this church, and they make us aware of it. We are going to help them have a real Christmas
with
for
good
those
gifts.
Kids. Yeah, and not the ones that she had to make up as a kid. And just tell them just a second about that, and I'll get into the first point.
When Christmas would come, you're just aware that when other kids are talking about their presents at school, then that you didn't have what they had. And so I was always ashamed. I felt like I wasn't good enough. So I would even lie and make up that I had Christmas gifts given to me that weren't there. And so I never wanted, under our church, our care for kids to ever feel like that they didn't get something special from Christmas. So, I mean, you are amazing as a church. You give with our Kingdom Builders, and with what you give, we are able to fund so many works that touch kids' lives, and it gives them a value that they would never have had. So thank you for doing that.
Yes, and the first point, amen, thank you. That's a great place to go. Thank you, all of our campuses, those of you online, thank you. Listen, the first point is simply this, that Jesus modeled this. He modeled starting with people. That's his model. Now, the greatest place I see it in Scripture is the woman at the well of Samaria, Jacob's well. Mm-hmm. And she was a Samaritan woman. Now, a little background is Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were part Jewish, and the Jews rejected them. If you listen and read throughout the Bible, you'll find in place one place they were going to go through Samaria, and they didn't want to house Jesus there because they hated the Jews as well. And John and James, the two brothers, said, can we call fire down from heaven and kill all those people? So there was a whole lot of animosity.
Yeah.
So he's about to speak to a Samaritan who was also a woman. Now, in that culture, a woman was literally a second-class citizen, and in some ways relegated to a beast of burden, like many third-world countries that exist today in places that we've lived. They become literally a beast of burden to go get water and carry it back on their head. We've watched people do that and walk 4 or 5 miles. This is the woman he's about to talk to. A Jewish prayer for a man was this, and it's a horrible prayer. It's not a godly prayer, but it was, God, thank you that you've not made me a woman. Now imagine. That's the view. Now, I want to take you to this moment where Jesus started with people, no matter what anybody thought.
That's right.
Listen here in John chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll read to verse 19, then verse 25, 26. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. And how can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks with his herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks this water that I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to come back here and draw this water. And he told her, go and call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had 5 husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. She was living with someone. What you have said is quite true. And she said, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Down in verse 25, the woman said, he's talking to her, having a conversation. And the woman said, I know that Messiah, which is called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I am the Messiah.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that nowhere in the New Testament do you find anywhere where Jesus, including his disciples, ever clearly told anyone who he was that clearly. She said, we're waiting for Messiah. He stopped and he said, I'm he. And she went into her town and brought the town out to see him. And multitudes gave their lives to Jesus that day. But let me tell you something else that happened. While he was talking to her, the disciples came back and they stood off to the side and they watched him break the rules. They watched him talk to a woman. They watched him talk to a Samaritan woman, and they began to talk among themselves and say, what's he doing? But they said they were all afraid to ask him about it because he always confounded them, because religion makes you see God as a list of rules instead of a God that loves you desperately.
Yes.
The law of God was not designed to be God. It was designed to bring you to him, to show you needed a savior. And Jesus basically, again and again and again, he said, all that is written is for me. I'm God. I'm Word made flesh. I am the one who wrote it. I'm the one who said it. And this woman matters to me. And he valued somebody that the culture would have completely disvalued. In fact, had the disciples even known, married 5 times, living with a man, they would have said, what is he doing talking to someone like this? He no way should be associating with somebody like this. Jesus put people first, all people. He loved all people. He died for all people. They didn't understand his what he was doing because they didn't know why he did it. Start with people. Lastly, this woman, her church history tells us her name was Fotini, and she became an evangelist. And she went to Northern Africa, and she evangelized in a way that was as profound as anybody in the early church. Ultimately, she was brought to Rome, arrested, put on trial, and questioned by Nero, who was that crazy nut
job.
And
she chose to go back. The church history says that she chose to go back.
Yes. Yes, she did. Yeah. And eventually was martyred for her faith. And if you ever get the time, look up her name and read the discourse of what she said to Nero. It was pretty brutal. She got right in his face because she didn't care what he could do to her. No one saw that, but Jesus did.
Yeah.
And Jesus sees value in people. So when you start with people, it makes a difference. Secondly, this, starting with people will empower some things in your life that are very difficult for most of us to do. They'll empower sacrifice, and they'll empower risk. Jesus is the perfect example of someone who was willing to sacrifice because he put people first. He risked everything to come in human form to actually win the sin over the war over sin for himself, and then die a spotless lamb, never had tasted sin on your behalf and mine. And what it'll actually do is give you the power to take risks with your life.
Yes.
Like with Michelle selling her ring, when you have a value, it doesn't feel like a risk. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice. It's why so many Christians are trying to do something instead of learning to be someone. And so when it comes to risk, life-changing decisions, I don't care if it's in a kingdom of God mindset, business, family, marriage, life-changing decisions always require significant risk. Always. And the reason most people never fulfill their purpose in life is they can never overcome the mountain of risk. The fear is greater than the ability to take the step. And so they can't manage risk. But when you have a God-given, if you will, purpose, if your values are set by heaven, then those things will bow their knee to your values instead of the other way around. And so you start with the value, and then you get to the decision. Now, when we started Victory, this year will be 28 years. It was an all-in risk. We had nothing. This was crazy, and it was crazy on every imaginable front. And if you would have asked anybody who watched us do it, they thought we were out of our mind. And it was crazy. But yet today, you're seeing the outcome of what began with a value. And we made decision after decision after decision. In fact, have you ever had somebody say when you're going to make a choice, write down all the pros and cons? All the things that good, here's the good reasons, here's the...
We didn't even do that.
No, we didn't even know to do that. But but can I tell you that in some places that's pretty wise to do?
Yes.
But when it comes to your values, I don't care how many pages are on the cons. And when you look at starting this church, it would have been volumes of books that could have been written. And when you looked at the pros, it would have just been a few words. Yeah. Start with people.
Yeah.
People matter to God. That's all that, by the way, that's all that matters to God are people.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And when we had that value, all of the other things were weighty, but they didn't impact us. Through the years, I've told the stories of when we left Africa, coming back to America. At that time, we had a monthly support for our work in Africa. It ranged sometimes, I don't know, between $7,000-$8,000 a month, somewhere in that range. And it was monthly coming into the ministry, not to us. And so what I had intended to do was write all of our partners and ask them to continue supporting us for 1 year to help us start Victory. Nothing wrong with that. And God really dealt with my heart and said, don't do that. Write your partners and ask them to stop supporting you and to support this missionary that you're working for instead of you. And now you have to understand, that means all of our income went away in a day. And there were just literally two people that continued to support us. And it went down to that number of two people. And I wish the post office would have lost the mail at least for a little, another month, but they didn't. And one of those, by the way, Pastor John and Kathy Spencer years ago. And they just kept supporting us when the church started. And it just, you know, such an amazing thing when you look at those kind of decisions. Now, at the time, Michelle was 8 months pregnant with our son. And we were living in Africa and coming back to start the church. So she knows that this is going to happen. And then we had a lot of equipment that we had purchased that we were going to sell and bring back as well. Talk a little bit about what God dealt with you there.
Well, John kept talking about that we were going to sell everything and use the money when we came back to start the church, because we had nothing when we started the church. We had no sound. You don't realize the cost it takes to just to have a service. So when he would share that with me, I kept feeling in my heart, this isn't right. And again, like I said, it was no supernatural vision or voice. It was just a prompting in my heart that I knew that we should leave that money there, that money was raised for the people of Africa and those seeds should be left there. And so I told John, I said, I don't feel right about this. I think we need to leave this all to the missionaries that we're helping here so that they can use this to continue on their work here in Africa. And I really know that was a great seed in the ground. And if we had not sown that seed there, I don't think we would even be here right now, because yeah, that seed bore fruit. You have to have seed in the ground for God to be able to multiply things back to you. And a lot of times I think that we allow fear to allow us to eat that seed and keep it for ourselves. When if you would plant it somewhere, in somebody's life somewhere, or in a work somewhere, then God can multiply that. And I'm going to tell you, when we got back, we were in the airport in JFK,
yeah,
and I was 8 months pregnant. We didn't have the money to buy a Big Mac.
Nothing.
But you know what? I never was afraid. I don't think you were ever in fear at all.
But I would say, the way Michelle had been raised and the devastation, fear was a part of your everyday life.
Yes.
And terror.
Yeah, and I dealt with that for years. But there, I was not afraid. I knew God was going to provide for us. And it was so amazing what God did for us with Ryan. We had people send gifts to us for Ryan from all over the country. We had churches give us showers and give us gifts and send them in the mail to us. I think we didn't have to buy one thing for him till he was 2 years old.
Yeah,
God is faithful.
But here's the thing. But had none of that happened?
Yeah.
Our reward was not that. Yes. It was you.
Yeah.
That was the outcome. We were just excited.
To do what God told us.
When we got to JFK, we didn't have credit card back then, and the reason we had no money is when we got on the plane, I think I had $200-$300 in cash left to our name.
And then we found out we were in debt.
That's right. The phone bill got messed up over there.
My husband loves to talk on the phone.
I'm my best friend. I talk to him every day. I talk to Michelle, but let's just say she's not a good phone person. I'm going to tell the story.
I can tell some too. You can get even now.
Yeah. I'd be on the road and I call her and it's like, you know, that long goodbye. You're supposed to, oh, baby, I love you. I'll talk to you later. And I'd say, well, I probably should go. All right, bye. Boom. And the phone would go away. I'd be like, hello? Hello? So when she talks about the phone.
Well, I got to tell you, he loves talk. He always has talked on the phone. And when we would be in pastors' houses, when we traveled and spoke in churches, they would look at me and they're like, he's like a girl. He talks on the phone all the time. So when we were in Africa, he would talk to everybody back here on the phone.
Yeah, but not a long time.
And he didn't realize that the phone company did not bill us.
For 6 months, yeah. they didn't show up for six months.
We got back a bill.
And then we got this bill for like
thousands of dollars.
It was like $2,000. It was like, what? And so they reduced it because they didn't do it monthly. But still, we had nothing. So we get on the plane to come home from Africa. I think I had three $100 bills to our name. And we were about to get on the plane. And the couple that drove us there, they were at the gate with us. I don't know whether you said it or came into my heart. I knew we had to leave everything there. So we emptied our pockets. We got to JFK, and we couldn't even go eat. So that's irresponsible. Values make risk secondary. And I want to help you to understand that risk, it has to transcend into your everyday life. So the third thing simply is this, that starting with people doesn't just apply to spiritual lives. See, this isn't because we're ministers.
Yeah.
This is my hope, is that you see these values. It wouldn't matter what our vocation was. As a Christian, these values are how we would choose to live. And so the third thing is simply this, is that when you start with people, it literally applies to not just your spiritual life, but your work life, your vocational life, and your home. And so, Michelle, I know that as we raised our kids, the value of people first, we didn't call it that, but we put the language to it today. Talk about how you spoke to our children about that value, just in the way you raised them.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm not a perfect mom, and I wish we could do some things differently, but we did always try to put that value in our kids. And as a mother, I would choose to use everyday life examples of when they were dealing with something to help them to see that people mattered. And so when I would even go in their classes and I would help them in school, I would see some kids that I always felt like were left out, and I would try to encourage them, hey, when you're at lunch, look for those kids that nobody talks to. Look for those kids that nobody values, and go and ask them to sit at your table. Give them your influence. I would always, when they would come home and they would share things about behavior of kids. And, you know, I think as Christians, sometimes we can get so self-righteous, and I never wanted my kids to carry that kind of self-righteousness, because they had maybe some things that they were taught that were such a blessing in knowing God, that they could always understand that people don't necessarily have that in life. And so I would say, hey, when they would share a behavior of a kid or whatever, I'd say, you don't know what that kid's dealing with. Right. You don't know their home life. You don't know what they're facing every day when they go home from school. And maybe that's why they're doing what they do. And so don't judge them. Pray for them. And so I'd encourage you as parents to give your kids the ability to look at people around them and see that they can make a difference in their world, especially in this culture. Oh. With what they're dealing with. Self-focus is so unbelievable in this culture.
It's like a sewer.
Especially with social media now and what they're dealing with and the problems that they're dealing with. If they can live outside of themselves, and that's why we are so blessed with Ben and Alyssa and what they do in our student ministries.
Yeah, man, come on, man.
We are so blessed because they help kids to see that God wants to use them right where they are and that they can focus on others. And that's why we're doing these school experiences.
And Newcastle and Meadville campuses are going to experience that same type of ministry in their student ministries.
So putting people first in your family, teaching them that it's not just even about our family.
Yeah.
At times where we're blessed, what do? We look for other families where we can bless them also.
As I watched y'all do that with our kids over and over again, is that she literally would say, and I'm thinking of our youngest, and would say, listen, when you go to school today, honey, because she would have told her about a situation or a person, said, I want you to find that person. And if they're sitting alone, look for the people sitting alone and use your life to better their life. And it's hard. And sometimes I'm sure kids didn't do it.
Yeah.
But we wanted them to understand that you value people. Because people don't do what they do always because of why you think they do it.
Isn't it amazing that God always sees the potential in every person?
Exactly.
And we look at this and what God's done here, and we look at where we came from.
Crazy.
And, it's amazing. God, there is unlimited potential in people.
Yes.
And in the lowest of the low and the most least that you would think sometimes are the people that God will use the greatest.
Yes.
And if you look through the Word of God and you see how God used people, it was usually people that the world would look at and say, oh, they don't have anything to give. But God used them to touch nations. And so that's what we want to do as a church, is to give that value to others around us. So when people walk through these doors, they know that they matter and that they're loved, because people carry so much hurt and so much pain and so much shame when they walk through these doors, when they're new believers. And so I would just encourage you to pray about who it is in your circle of influence that you can give value to.
Yep. You know, even if you're not in a lower place in life by circumstances, all the achievement in the world, if you have achieved, you know what it doesn't produce.
Yeah.
Until it translates into helping people and serving people and people first, it won't matter to you. And so it's the only way for any Christian to live, regardless of their circumstances. Let me move it over just for a second now to your everyday work life, your career path. This value is what will make you fruitful in a world. We live in a world now where service is almost gone for a variety of reasons. We live in a world to where being a victim and being offended is an Olympic sport. And it's like, literally, people, they thrive. Well, let me show you how I'm an offender. I'm a victim. Woohoo! Look, somebody made me feel bad. And you know what you are? You are under someone's feet for the rest of your life.
That's right.
This value will make you stop being so weak and miserable and pitiful that somebody on can write something that doesn't even know you, and it stops you in your tracks. Why doesn't it do that to this person? Because no one gets to define you but God.
Yes.
And you get to then see people and lift people and not go into the offense Olympics. But in your work life, here's the reality. Policies in every environment, if you work in any environment, are important.
Yeah.
Policies are defined by what you always do, what you never do. They're very important. But very often, because most people, the majority of people, need structure in their life. There are very few people who are more just kind of visionary, that don't need any structure. They're just out there and they're little nuts and they can go for it. Most people aren't built that way. They need structure. So what happens is that when you set policies in any environment, even in your home, and people don't know the why behind the policy will become your purpose.
Yeah.
They will fight for the policy instead of the outcome. And so we've had something we've said for years here is that you always put people before policy. People come before policy. If you were to look at the early days of Walmart, and let's use that as an example. And again, I'm not speaking derogatorily about Walmart. I want you to know they have poured a lot of money through this church to be able to help us do some things. So we're grateful for the corporation as they've been very generous to help us help people in our region.
Yes.
But if you remember the early days of Walmart, Sam Walton, the founder, had a mission that when you went to Walmart, they were going to take care of you personally, no matter how big the store was. Now, how many of you remember the store that used to be called Kmart? How many of you never even heard of Kmart?
I liked Kmart.
That was Walmart before there was a Walmart. It was Kmart. Everybody went to Kmart. Blue light special. Anybody chase a blue light in your life? Come on.
You should tell your tennis shoe story.
I don't have time, but I'm telling you, man, we chased some blue lights in my house growing up. But I can't find anything anywhere. Anyhow, in my sock drawer, I get lost. I can't find stuff.
That's the truth. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, baby. I love you so much. And so, no, I can't. So when I go to the big box stores, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. So I'd go to somebody at Kmart. I'd say, listen, I need the widget, whatever. And they would go, it's over there. And I'm like, oh. 20 minutes later, I can't find it. And I'm just, Walmart shows up. I don't know what a Walmart. I go in. I walked up to somebody, another widget question. They stopped what they were doing, and they walked. I stood there. I thought they left me. I said, wonder where they're going. They turned around and said, oh, no, please, I'll show you. And I went, what? And they walked me all the way to my widget, found my widget, said, is this the widget you want? I went, that's the widget I want. They walked away, and I was like, I love you.
I mean, he calls me 20 times when he goes to Giant Eagle.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Just to find things.
Yeah.
So
now, what do you want again? Is this the right thing? FaceTime her. She says, what's wrong with you? I said, my mother would have been happy that my dad went. But that's another story. It's marriage teaching. So I said that out loud, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And so you started it. Anyway, so... Where was I? The ADD just kicked in.
Well, you're talking about Walmart and service-oriented.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so I never went back to Kmart again.
Yeah.
But can I ask you a question? When you go to Walmart today, does that exist?
No.
I have to check out my own stuff.
Oh, Lord.
You know how long it takes me to find a barcode?
Yeah.
Do you? Listen, I have to seek Jesus. I pray before I go there. Because I'm like, what is this stupid? That's what I feel like. It's not good. I'm thinking, I have a job. I don't want yours. That's how I feel. Question now. Walmart has an incredible supply chain. It's going to take a long time to kill that successful model. But let me ask you a question. How many of you would say, now when you go to Walmart, sometimes you feel, oh, that's painful. Raise your hand. How long do you think that's going to happen until it affects their bottom line? Eventually it will. See, starting with people matters everywhere. It doesn't just matter in the spiritual matters of life. It is a value that, because it's God's heart for humans, it's how humans were designed to thrive.
Like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A is a perfect example. Isn't it Chick-fil-A? Yeah. Come on, man.
They value your time. They get you through really fast.
Yeah, they're like, my pleasure to serve you. And I believe it.
And their employees, I think they're...
They're required.
Yeah, to give away free meals, so many free meals
every month.
So.
How many of y'all ever gone to Chick-fil-A? The line is 400 miles long, and in 2 minutes you have food. You're like, you should run the federal government. You guys are amazing. It's the most profitable fast food chain in the nation, and they closed on Sunday.
Yep.
Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
Anybody know what that came from? Oh, come on, man. Yeah, oh, Kanye, yeah. Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday. It's just 6 days a week, and they're tearing it up. Why? They start with people.
Yes.
It matters. It absolutely matters in our everyday life. And I want to help every one of you to see that if you put your policies, your law, your what you think has to be done above people, it will stymie everything you do. If you put order in your home, more important than the people in it. if it, the clean house means more than the people in the clean house. It transcends life. And even here at Victory, policies are incredibly important. It isn't that we do, just don't break them. But we have a value that people come before them. Now, how many of you would agree in the world in which we live, security is a big deal? And if you come to Victory to any of our campuses, I want you to know that we have thoroughly thought through the security of everything you can imagine to ever happen at any of our campuses. We have a plan and a strategy in place. And when you take care of people's children, I'm telling you, we have policies and they're strict. Now, a while back, we had a person come to Victory, and obviously it's a Christian person, but psychologically disturbed and had real deep psychological issues. And so didn't like certain things about the church, so would just start screaming out that the church is bad, that you're no good, and just yelling out just things that was disruptive. So our security person that was on our staff escorted her out into the lobby area and tried to help her. Said, no, ma'am, you know you can't do that. And she started to tell why. I said, listen, how about we go back in? And instead of just, the policy is that person can't be here because they've made a decision. And we have to respect it, and it's okay, but we love you, but you can't come here. He brought her back in, sat with her way back in the back row over here, and tried to just say, listen, let's, and praying, God, do something in this precious woman's heart. Now she did it again. And he brought her out, and he said, listen, we would love to be able to serve you and help you, but she said, I'm going to do it every time I come here. He said, well, ma'am, you can't come here anymore then. And she's not allowed here. The policy is the policy, but the person came first. She's somebody's daughter.
Yeah.
There's something broken in this precious woman. Now, the policy is what it is, and the sense, ultimately, we have to respect her choice. And this isn't that you just, all things go and nothing matters, but here's the bottom line, is that people matter to God, and that's all that matters to God. People matter to God. And when you live that value, you always put the person first, and then the policy never loses its purpose. And if you leave anything anywhere, you'll discover the simple principle that your policies where you work or what you, if you oversee an area, you'll find out that the policies mean more to people than the outcome of why they're even there. In fact, people will know the policies more than they know the purpose. Jesus never lived that way, and that's why they couldn't hack him. Lastly, Jesus did something amazing. He learned to extract the precious out of what other people had deemed worthless. He saw value in everybody, everyone, everywhere, and made it available for all of them to come to Christ. You know, yesterday, Michelle, as we were speaking, God dealt with your heart, something that you felt like every person in our church should be doing right now to take a next step with this. Talk about what God put in your heart about it.
Well, I just feel like that if would everybody just bow their heads right now and just get along just for a moment, just get along with God right now and just search inside yourself and ask yourself if there's a person in your life that God's dealing with you right now that you need to maybe invite to church, maybe do something for, maybe forgive, maybe somebody that you need to give to, but that there's just some step that you need to take with a person that God has put in your life or in your path, and ask God to help you and show you what to do. I'd encourage you to make this year, 2022, a year where you invite people here. Sometimes it's important, obviously, to share your story and what God's done in your life and lead people to the Lord, but sometimes it's easier to invite them to a place where they can experience the presence of God, and in that place they can receive Jesus. And so I would encourage you in the year 2022 to invite people in your work, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, to church here and see what God will do in their lives.
And that's here at Cranberry.
Yes.
At Newcastle, at Meadville.
Yes.
Invite people that God is putting in your heart. You might say, well, what if God doesn't put anyone in my heart? It's impossible. It's the only reason Jesus came. And I'm going to ask Michelle to pray over all of us at all of our campuses, for every one of us today. There's somebody in your world.
Yes.
Doesn't have to necessarily be somebody in need, but whoever, I promise you, in your circle of influence, if you'll always be looking, who is that person?
Yes.
And ask this very, very difficult question. If I was far from Jesus today and I met me, would I have any chance of coming to know Christ? It's a very tough question to ask. And I want to answer that question well. Be the person you wish you would have met when you were far from God. Who is that person? And Michelle's going to pray over you right now that not only will you see that person in your heart, but that you will make next steps now toward that person, not in 6 months. And the easiest thing to do is to bring them to a service where God can touch their heart. They can give their lives to Jesus.
So, Father, we just thank you.
Amen. Pray, baby.
We just thank
you. At all of our campuses.
That as every person has committed in their heart to make that step, to do what you ask them specifically to do, Lord, I thank you that that person on the other end will receive your love, your goodness, that they'll see that their lives matter. And Lord, I thank you that every person hearing my voice right now, that they see that you need them. You need them to touch people. You need them to express whatever it is that you called them to express on the earth, that their gifts, their talents, that whatever it is, Lord, that you need them to make that step, to put an action to that, so that another person's life will be lifted, so that a people can experience you, that they can experience eternity living with you. Father, I just thank you that as they make that step, that you'll bless them, Father. And they'll see that there's a longing in their hearts that only can be satisfied when they put people first, when they make an effort to live outside of them. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Father, for people this year in 2022 that are out there, that are desperate, that are hurting, that are carrying shame, that are carrying things that you didn't call them to carry, Lord, that their lives will be changed forever. They'll make Jesus as their Lord, and they'll experience your goodness. Lord, we just thank you. That's why we do what we do. That's the only reason we do what we do is to help people in their lives, Lord. I thank you for that. We praise you for it in Jesus' name.
His head's bowed and eyes are closed at all of our campuses. At our campuses, you have a campus pastor there right now that is there to respond with you for what God is doing.
Thank you, Father.
There on your campus. And so those of you online, I'm about to give you an invitation as well that matters. This is eternity for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed at all of our campuses, I'd ask you this question. If today you drew your final breath on planet Earth, do you know where you would spend your eternity? Do you know where you would spend your forever? Jesus died to pay the debt for the sin that none of us could pay ourselves. And you die either in your sin and punished on your own and pay for it yourself, or when you die, you will have received the payment and debt paid by a Savior.
Yes.
And so I want to pray for those of you that today, if you were to die right now, you don't know where you'd spend your eternity. There really is a heaven and there really is a hell. Jesus said so. And he paid an awful price for us.
Thank you.
Oh, what an amazing love that it is. And he paid the debt for my sin and yours. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, in a moment I'm going to ask you at all of our campuses, if you desire to receive Christ in your heart, simply in a moment to acknowledge it through an uplifted hand. And then we're all going to pray the prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated at all of our campuses. If you're online, just put it in the comments. I'm praying with Pastor John today to receive Christ because we want to help you. So if you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure and you want to leave this place knowing that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of your life and you don't and you want to know, you're not sure you've done it or you know you haven't and you say, please include me in that prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, right where you're at, right where you're seated. Would you simply, at all of our campuses, simply raise your hand real high where I can see it and I'm going to pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. It's the best decision of your life.
Yes.
One last moment, we ask you at all of the campuses, including Cranberry, you could see no one's going to single you out or embarrass you. You say, I've not yet asked to be included in that prayer, but I really do want to receive Christ. Heads still remaining bowed, eyes closed. Say, Pastor, please include me as well. And I've not yet acknowledged that I desire to receive Christ. Would you do that right now at all of our campuses? Would you lift your hand right now? Acknowledge it before God. Say, God, I want to receive him. And I have it. Thank you. God bless you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Thank you. God bless you. Now listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. And we're all going to pray it out loud and together with you at all of our campuses. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to pray it where you hear it. We're going to pray it with you. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Yes. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
And I believe with all my heart.
And I believe with all my heart.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
He died on a cross.
He died on a cross.
To bear my sin debt.
To bear my sin debt.
I open the door of my heart and life.
I open the door of my heart and life.
And Jesus, I invite you in now.
Jesus, I invite you in.
I receive you now.
I receive you
to be the Lord and Savior of my life.
To be the Lord and Savior of my life.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Making me brand new.
Making me brand new.
My sin debt is canceled.
My sin debt is canceled.
I will walk with you.
I will walk.
I will live for you.
I will live
all the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
And when I die,
and when I die,
I will be heaven bound.
I will be heaven bound.
Because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Amen. 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 Give them a hand at all of our campuses. Best decision of your life. In a moment at all of our campuses, we're going to stand and we're going to worship God and trust for the power of the Holy Spirit to move in this place. Listen, this is the time when we've been seeing God do miraculous things in people's bodies, miracles,
yes.
Because God is alive and God, by the power of His Spirit, everywhere, including you online, God wants to move mightily in your everyday life and the things that may be impossible. In any realm of life, nothing is impossible with Him. And so we're going to all stand in a moment at all of our campuses, and we're going to spend just a few moments of worshiping our God, and we're going to wait in His presence and see what love He wants to pour out, what gifts He wants to pour out in this place. Because when we come here, we don't come to have church. We come to be the church, because Jesus is alive,
yes.
And He wants
Amen.
To do amazing things in your life. Would you stand together with me at all of our campuses? And come on, let's go into His lovely presence, and let's worship Him. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.